Well, good evening. Just for the recording, it's Wednesday the 1st of June, and the topic on the webcast this evening is walking as Jesus walked. I think for many of us, that's the longing of our heart, is we really understand how Jesus lived his life, and we really see the revelation and the faith and the relationship with the Father that he lived in. And, you know, I guess for all of us, that's the longing of our heart, is that we would really know what it means to walk as Jesus walked. And to, you know, to find as we do that, the release in our spirits and the freedom in our hearts, because Jesus was totally free, and you know, nothing, you know, he wasn't constrained or restricted by any of the world's systems or any of the sort of world's ways, but he was totally free. And you know, we read the account of his life, and we see the impact that's had on history, and we look at the early church in the Acts of the Apostles and in Paul's letters. And, you know, I think there's certainly something in my heart, and I guess it's the same for many of us, is that there's a longing, you know, and a desire that just says, oh, I wish it could be like that again. You know, I wish I could experience that same thing. And I really believe we can. I really believe we can walk as Jesus walked. We can live as Jesus lived. I don't believe it's an impossible thing for us. You know, obviously, you know, when we get to go to heaven, we will live in the fullness of that. But you know, I believe we can step into that right now and begin to experience what it means. You see, I really do believe it's the longing of our hearts. But I think for many of us as well, we've grown up in a system that has tried to force us into walking as Jesus walked, which has been very much based on doing the right thing and behaving the right way and living the right way. And it's like, at the end of the day, that can very often, not always, but that can very often be somebody else's opinion of what the right thing is. And many of us, I think, have struggled for many years in trying to do the right thing, trying to live our life the right way, trying to do something that we hope pleases God. And you know, the continual striving and the continual effort of trying to find that path that is pleasing to God. And you know, many of us have found that very tiring and very exhausting, and certainly not, you know, the path of freedom or the path of life. And I think many people get discouraged, and many people give up, and many people just settle for a sort of mediocrity. But I don't believe that's our destiny. I don't believe that's what we've been called to be. I don't believe that's how we've been called to live. And I guess this whole thing, this whole topic of walking as Jesus walked, is something that's just been with me for the last couple of years, and really trying to understand and experience it, you know, much more in my own life. And, you know, I hope this evening that I can just encourage us that it really is attainable for us to walk as Jesus walked. You know, I just want to start in 1 John chapter 2, where it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And, you know, in one sense, we can read that verse and it can appear quite legalistic. It can appear quite hard. It can appear a very, very stark contrast between a life lived like Jesus or not on the other side. And, you know, and even that verse there, you know, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk in the same way as he walked. It feels a little bit like, you know, if you say you're a Christian, then you must do the right thing and behave the right way and so on and so forth. But I think we read it like that when we don't understand fully the context in which it's written. And let me try and explain that. You know, there are some things I should do. You know, it's good for me to do. I mean, for example, in England, it's a good thing for me to drive on the left-hand side of the road. Last week, when we were in Switzerland, it was a good thing for me to drive on the right-hand side of the road. You know, that's something I should do. And the simple reason I should do it is because that's a rule of society. That's to keep everybody safe on the road. That's to avoid a lot of accidents. That's to avoid a lot of conflict or confusion. It's to provide a structure that is safe for everyone. And of course, you know, in the morning when I get out into my car to go to work, you know, I've got the choice in England. I could drive on the right side of the road. I mean, the right side as opposed to the left side. You know, but I wouldn't get very far before having, you know, an accident. You know, I am free to do that, but it wouldn't be a very good thing for me to do. There would be consequences. You see, so there's those sorts of things I should do for the safety and the security of, you know, society and my well-being and my family's well-being and so on. So, you know, that's quite often the way we interpret the word should or ought. You know, it's we see all these things that are very, very good and we should do them, we ought to do them, because that's the right way of doing them for safety, for security, for good living and so on and so forth. And I think we tend to apply that same definition, if you like, to verses like we've just read, where it says you ought to walk in the way Jesus walked. And it becomes the same to us as like the laws of the road or whatever. But I don't believe it is. There are some other things I should do if I want to avoid broken relationships. See, I mean, for example, it's a good thing for me to love my wife, for me to love my children. You know, and you could say, I should love my wife. You know, now I don't do that out of compliance with rules. I don't do that out of, you know, wanting to be safe and secure. I do that because there's something in my heart that doesn't want any broken relationships. And, you know, there's these two different sort of inferences of the word should or ought. You know, there are some things we should do because they're a law, they're a rule, they're a regulation. There are other things we should do, it's good for us to do, simply because it keeps us in good and right relationships and it prevents all those harmful, destructive relationships taking place. And I think that's what it's this second one that John is using here when he wrote that verse, because John's whole letter is set in the context of relationship. So when he says we ought to walk as Jesus walked, he's saying that in the context of relationship. He's not setting it in the context of a rule book or doing the right thing, behaving the right way, living the right way. He's saying it in the whole context of the relationship that he lives in and that he experiences with the Father. And I think, you know, when we come to read things like this and understand them, we have to put it in the same context, the same understanding of relationship. See, John starts off his letter, 1 John, his first letter, he starts off with the words, he said, these are the things we have heard, seen and touched. See, they're all experiential words. You know, he starts off by saying, he says, I'm writing this letter to you to tell you what I've heard, what I've seen, what I've touched. I've been there. I've been with Jesus. I've walked with him. I know what he's like, you know, and I've seen the fruit of that walk in his relationship with the Father. So John immediately sets the tone for his letter is in the context of the experiential relationship with the Father. And if we understand that, it makes that little verse that we read a couple of minutes ago much, much more understandable, because we set it in the context of relationship. See, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John writes, you know, our fellowship is with the Father. You know, again, he's putting this in, he's saying, I'm describing a relationship to you. You know, it's our fellowship, our relationship, our connection is with the Father and his Son. And he really, really wants to underline this for us so that we too can put everything into this context of relationship. You know, in chapter 2, verse 24, it says, let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. Then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. See, that's talking about us taking hold of the truths and the revelation and letting it become part of us. It's letting this revelation seep into our hearts and change us from the inside out so that it has an impact on us. So it's not like, you know, I just don't feel I can sort of underline it enough. It's not like coming and looking at the rule book and saying, you know, what do I have to do? How do I have to live? It's saying, I have tasted, I have drunk of this amazing love of the Father. It's filling my heart, it's seeping through my life. And, you know, as it does, then we begin to live or abide in the Son and in the Father. See, John's really putting it very clearly for us. He's not saying it's a set of rules of what you've got to do or what you've got to do or how you've got to behave or whatever, but he's saying, this is what I've seen. This is what I've experienced. This is a relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. And this is something that works inside of us. You know, let these truths be in our hearts so that we live in the Son and we live in the Father. You see, we cannot operate a relationship by a set of rules. We can only operate a relationship from the heart. And that's what John is drawing us into in this first letter. He's showing us and he's describing for us in great intimate detail what our relationship with the Father can be like. And that leads us to walk as Jesus walked. See, it's not we ought to walk as Jesus walked. It's not like you must or you have to, but it's much more, well, it's because of this relationship. This is what I want to do. This is what I long to do. And, you know, I hope this evening I can light a little spark or something in you that has this desire to pursue this relationship more and more and more, and to pursue this deepening of a heart connection with the Father. So something inside of us grows and grows and grows, and our response is, it's like, oh, what else would I want to do? Of course I want to walk as Jesus walked, because I've been filled with the same love as he's been filled with. You know, of course I want to live in relationship with the Father, not because he's someone who has to be obeyed and kept on the right side of, but because he's poured his love into my heart that has led me into this relationship. And, you know, it really is not a case of looking at what Jesus did and trying to copy it. You know, that in a sense is easy. You know, we've got the gospel accounts of all the things he did and the miracles he did and how he behaved and so on. And it would be very easy for us to read those, draw a list, put it on the fridge and tick them off as we go through. But, you know, it's not about doing what Jesus did. You know, walking as Jesus walked, living as Jesus lived, it's a way of life. It's a heart attitude. It's a relationship. You know, walking as Jesus walked is you and me having fellowship and oneness with the Father in exactly the same way as Jesus did. You know, for us to walk as Jesus walked is to be captivated and caught up in the love of the Father. And so we begin to live out of love and live in relationship with him. It's not about having a checklist. It's not about coming back to a whole load of things saying, you know, how am I performing? How am I matching up to the targets? You know, so many of us in our jobs and whatever, it's like everything is performance and, you know, key performance indicators, and we're assessed continually and we have to match up to the target. You know, that's so much the opposite to the life we are called to live as sons and daughters. Because the life we're called to live as sons and daughters is to be caught up in this amazing love relationship with the Father, so that his love fills our heart and it captivates us. And we can't help but become like Jesus. And that's when we will start to have the same way of life, the same heart attitude, the same relationship as Jesus had. See, Jesus lived in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit was the hallmark of his life. And in Galatians, Paul lists it for us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-controls. That against these things, there is no law. You know, it's like these qualities, this fruit is above the law. It's not subject to the law, but it rises above the law. And, you know, I just want to point out to us that it's not my fruit. It's not fruit I have to cause to grow. It's not fruit I have to make happen. It's not the fruit as the work of my hands. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in us will produce love. It will produce a life of love. It will produce a life of joy. It will produce a life of peace, of patience, and so on and so on. See, because it's the Spirit of sonship living in us that produces the fruit. It's not us producing it in our own strength or our own effort. It's the fruit of living as a son or daughter. That when we live in that Spirit of sonship, it can't help but produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You know, we know that we cannot work those things up. You know, I've tried hard to be patient. I've tried hard to have self-control. I've tried hard to be kind. And I can do it for a few days, maybe. And I guess we're all like that. And it kind of, we have an effort and something happens, but then it fizzles out. But when we live in the spirit of sonship, it's the fruit of that spirit that will be manifest in our lives. See, Jesus lived his life in perfect and complete love. He lived his life in perfect and complete joy. He lived his life in perfect and complete peace, in perfect and complete patience, in perfect and complete kindness, in perfect and complete goodness, in perfect and complete faithfulness, in perfect and complete gentleness, and perfect and complete self-control. See, that's what the spirit of sonship within us produces. It begins to produce perfect and complete love, perfect and complete joy, and so on and so on. See, that's what it means for us to walk as Jesus walked, is for us to live in this spirit of sonship that motivates us from the inside. It catches hold of us. And the more his love fills our heart, the more we live in love, the more this fruit of that spirit will be manifest in our lives. And that's when we begin to see that we're walking as Jesus walked. That's when we begin to understand what it really, really means. And when we live in that spirit of sonship, the law is not accountable to that spirit, because these things rise above the law and they take precedence over the law, and they become the motivating force within us rather than a set of rules outside of us. The Passion Translation translates it like this. It says, "The fruit of the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. This love is revealed through joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless." And I just love the way that puts it, that it's this divine love being expressed through us. And I really believe that this is the key for us to be able to walk as Jesus walked. This is the key for releasing us into that freedom that Jesus lived in, is for us to live and allow the Holy Spirit of sonship to grow within us. Because as the Holy Spirit of sonship grows within us, that divine love will be expressed in every area of our lives. And it will change us, because no longer will we be subject to a set of rules, but we'll be living in that relationship and that heart connection with the Father. We will begin to experience what our hearts have always longed for and that we've never been able to find. See, as I said at the beginning, it's the longing of our hearts to walk as Jesus walked. And many of us have become discouraged because we think it's all been about doing the right thing and going the right way and playing the game according to the rules. And that's been frustrating, it's been exhausting, it's worn us out, and it's left us feeling very, very dry, and certainly not experiencing the freedom that Jesus experienced. But if we can see that being filled with this love of the Father, the Father pouring his love into our hearts, and that love becoming the root and the substance of our lives, then that love, that spirit of sonship that's in us will produce this divine fruit, and we will begin to experience what it means to walk as Jesus walked. We will find a freedom. We will find an ease of and a peace within our hearts, because the striving will just begin to fall away. See, it's, you know, Paul puts it like in Romans that, you know, those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. See, this has always been God's plan, that we would be like Jesus. You know, Jesus is the firstborn of many brothers, and, you know, God's plan has always been for you and me to be like him. And so, you know, in God's mind, for us to walk as Jesus walked is just the way it should be. It's just like how it was planned. It was just like plan A. But it's all been so corrupted, you know. Often we talk about the effect of what happened in the garden and so on and so forth in Genesis chapter 3. But the whole thing has been corrupted. So instead of it being automatic for us to walk as Jesus walked or to be like Jesus, it's become this great big striving and struggle that has consumed us. But from God's perspective, from his point of view, it's always been his plan for us to be like his son and for us to walk as his son Jesus walked. You know, and Paul mentions that again in 2 Corinthians 3:18. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn. That's the same verse, isn't it? Not quite sure what's gone wrong there. I think 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we're changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. It's like the transformation goes on inside of us that changes us from one level of glory to another deeper level of glory being revealed in us. See, that's always been God's heart. It's always been his intention, is that his children would live like his son Jesus, living in relationship with him, rather than struggling to do everything right all the time. You know, a little bit later in this, the first letter of John, yeah, we get another little clue of what it can look like when we walk as Jesus walked. John talks about us walking in the light. And, you know, the truth is, you know, light and dark cannot live together. When you go into a room and you turn the light on, the darkness goes. It doesn't sort of fold itself up and sit in a corner. It just goes, because the light changes everything and takes away the darkness. And, you know, what John is saying there, that as we live in fellowship with the Father, as we live in fellowship and relationship with one another, this overwhelming desire for relationship will cause us to walk away from sin. You know, and it just will be simply because the light of his love is living in our lives, that, you know, we will walk towards the relationship. We will walk into the relationship. And in doing so, that causes us to walk away from all this stuff that holds us back. And, you know, again, we can see this whole thing as walking in the light as being a bit legalistic. You know, I've got to do this as opposed to this. But when we put it in the context of relationship, it actually becomes a much easier thing for us to walk towards. And that's why I said we need to read this in the context of relationship. Because if we don't read it in the context of relationship, what we end up reading is a set of rules. It's another law. But John stresses, as I hope I've managed to put across, John stresses that this is a relational thing. It's something we can see and hear and touch and experience in our hearts. Yeah, John John gives us his choice of lovers, if you like. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, again, that's a very, very stark statement. You know, it's a contrast between the black and the white. And it appears, again, you know, very, very, you know, almost very legalistic. But put it in the context of relationship and it is so different. He goes on, all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And, you know, again, let's read that in the context of relationship, that our desire for relationship will automatically swing us, if you like, into the direction of looking towards him rather than looking towards the pleasures of the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the pleasures of the world, but they mustn't, and John's encouraging us not to let them consume us and take us over, but he's saying, you know, let our gaze be on the Father so we look to him as our primary focus. Because that's how Jesus walked. You know, Jesus looked at his Father and did what his Father wanted him to do. And he didn't get sidetracked or consumed by all the things of the world that he could easily have done. You know, one of the temptations at the beginning of Jesus's ministry was Satan said, you know, I will give you everything if only you will worship me. And of course, Jesus didn't need that because he already had everything. And he was just so focused on doing his Father's will and whatever his Father put in front of him. I believe as we walk as Jesus walked, we will walk in the anointing and the authority that Jesus walked in. And that will grow in us. You know, John says in 1 John 2:27, the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and it's not a lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And, you know, I as we allow this spirit of sonship to fill our hearts, then I believe that there's an anointing and authority of sons and daughters that grows within us. And, you know, that's a whole other topic we could look at. But, you know, I believe that the Father wants his children to live in an authority that he gives us. Not one we create ourselves, not one we try and force upon others, but that authority that we have simply because we know that God is our Father. You know, we see that in the story of the prodigal son. We see that in the story of Joseph and Pharaoh and many, many other occasions where where sons and daughters, you know who they are and they know who their father is and can then bring that anointing and authority into situations. See, Jesus just had a quiet authority about him. You know, the centurion came to him and to heal his daughter and said to him, I can see that you're a man of authority. Just say the word and it will happen. And, you know, Jesus wasn't standing at the street corner shouting and declaring stuff. He was just living in his true identity as a son. And, you know, it's the same for us. It will be something that grows in us because we have the love of the Father in our hearts. You know, this is a seed that is planted in us and it grows and grows and grows. It's something we grow into. You know, we are his children now, but there is something so much more to be revealed in us. You know, John writes in chapter 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. See, there's something that is planted in our hearts, and my encouragement is that we let that seed grow. So yes, you know, we can say, yes, I am a son. Yes, I am a daughter. Yes, I know that God is my father. Yes, I know that I am his child. But I also know that what I will be has not yet been revealed. And that sense of sort of moving into something bigger and greater is something for each one of us to walk into. None of us have arrived. None of us ever will arrive. If we think we've arrived, we haven't, because there's always, always more for us to step into. And, you know, my encouragement is let's take that to heart. You know, yes, we are God's children. Let's have that assurance of knowledge in our hearts that God is our Father and we are his daughters, we are his sons, but there is more, so much more for each one of us to experience. Let love be the hallmark of our lives. You know, John writes in chapter 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You know, we've come to know and to believe. Those are experiential words. We've come to know because we know because we know. And we've come to believe because we've experienced. This is what John was talking about at the beginning of his letter. You know, these are the things we've seen and heard and touched. He's experienced something, and he's saying to us that we too can experience that love that God has for us, that the Father has for us. And as we experience that love in our hearts, growing in our hearts, it will cause us from the inside, it will motivate us to walk as Jesus walked. It will become a very, 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 very much a part of who we are. You know, walking as Jesus walked is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a formula. It's your life, it's my life, being transformed by the Father's love in such a way that our only response is one of worship, devotion, and dedication to him. That's what walking as Jesus walked is about. It's not coming up with a set of do's and don'ts, but it's living in love. It's being transformed by his love. It's allowing the spirit of sonship to grow within us. And our only response will be to say, "Father, I want to walk with you as your son walked with you." Let's just pray together, and then Barry, you know, feel free to come back. Maybe you just want to put your hand on your heart. And let's just ask the Father just to come again and fill us with his love. Maybe he needs to strip away some of these, you know, ideas of living by the rule book, trying to do things the right way, trying to behave the right way. Maybe we need to let go of those and just allow his love to come above those laws that we've made up or we've had imposed upon us. To let his love come above that, so that the fruit of the spirit of sonship is manifest in our hearts. So Father, we thank you once again for your great love. Thank you for your presence with us. Father, thank you that you're here with us. Wherever we are around the world, your presence is with us. And Father, I just ask that you would pour your love into our hearts, that you would pour this spirit of sonship into our hearts that produces this fruit within us, this love, this joy, this peace, that rises above the law, that rises above the rule book, that motivates us and causes us to walk as your son Jesus walked. Father, we want to be able to say that we have known and relied upon your love. in the same way that John could say that. See how great the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, for that is who we are. Father, we want to put all of this in the context of relationship, that we too can see and hear and touch and experience your love in our hearts. Thank you, Dad. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. Amen. Just keep receiving for a few moments.